Okay, good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Samach Dalet. Just before we start, today's daf is sponsored by Baruch Fischel, a.k.a. Bernie, and Sonia Kozlovsky and family, as well as Harry and Adrian Kozlovsky and family, in commemoration of the artzeit of their mother, Rose Kozlovsky, Rachel, Vassar of Leib Fischel, Aleha Shalom, and our learning this morning should be a schos for the Aliyah of the Neshama. Okay, so we're going to pick up. We left off a little bit up on Samach Gimel Amud Beis. Okay, we left off on the first wide line at the end of the line. Amar Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak says, Of Tahar Necho B'Mesores. So we've been talking about the fact that in order to eat a bird, if you don't know the bird in particular, you have to figure out, you know, how many simani kashrus does it have? Which simani kashrus does it have? Do you know all the birds who are like it, etc.? So kind of the Gemara here is saying that, and in fact, today that we eat any birds is really dependent on this Gemara. So the Gemara says, Oftar necho b'mesores, if you have a mesora, which Rashi defines in multiple ways, Rashi says b'mesores, Im zachar hu ba'adam kasher sha'achlo, if you remember, you saw someone who is an adam kasher, someone who you trust, had eaten in the past, you can rely on it. That's a mesora. Osher maser lo rabo, or his Rebbe told him that his Rebbe had a mesora. Otsayet chacham, or there's a hunter who's a talmud chacham, or at least a has chachma of hunting. We'll see in a minute. Shahutar, that bird can be eaten. So the idea is that if you have a mesora of about a certain type of bird that we have, that's a kosher bird, then you can eat that bird. And in fact, I referenced, we spoke about it the other day, that Rashi points out that we had this story where they thought a bird was kosher and it turned out to be a dores. And so really, we don't have people who are bekiyim in this, so it has to come from mesora from, I guess, back when we did have people who were bekiyim, or other reasons that we can rely on it. In any event, continues the Gemara, Rav Yitzchak, Neman atzayed lomar ofzeh tahar, maser li rabbi, that you can trust a hunter who says that that my Rebbe told me that this bird was kosher. So that's a form of, mesoras. Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan said, adds to that, v'hu shebaki behenem mishmoseyem. Provide, if a hunter tells you that his Rebbe said it's kosher, it has to be that his Rebbe actually knows all of the birds, because otherwise, why do you rely on his Rebbe? Now, we're gonna see what does it mean, a Rebbe. So, Boy Rav Zera asked, hold on a second, when you say that, Rabo Chacham or Rabo Tzayit, are you talking about his Rebbe like his Rav, or you're talking about his Rebbe in hunting? Meaning his, whoever taught him to hunt. So we say, Tashma, come and learn from the following. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'hu shabaki behem u'bishmaiseihem. This is Rabbi Yochanan's halacha that the expert has to be a baki in them and all their names. So we say, and this is very interesting Gemara. He says, i'amrit b'shlomo rabo tzayid shapir. So if you're saying that he had a mesora from his Rebbe who was a master hunter, so okay, so it makes sense why you listen to him. He says, Ele Yamrit Rabo Chacham. So he says, but if you're talking about his rabbi, Bishlama Shmayu Gamerlahu, Ele Inu Miyadalahu. So he's saying, but if you're talking about a rabbi, what does he know from birds? In other words, he knows names, he knows things, but how does he know? Rashi says maybe this bird looks like a different bird, looks similar to kosher bird, but it's a non-kosher bird. So he's basically saying that El Alav Shmamina, but learn from this that Rabo Tzayid, that it's a reference to his hunting teacher Shmamina. So we learn it that way. So what does it come out? It comes out that now, mind you, we would listen to if the Rebbeim have a Mesora going back that a certain kind of bird is kosher, then that of course we would listen to. But here it's referring to the concept that if you have a master hunter, as long as that master hunter is familiar with all the birds, you can rely on that. You can rely on that as well. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Tanur Rabbanan. We're five lines up from the bottom. Samach Gimel Amud Beis. Lochem beitzim and ovde kachavim b'chol makom ve'in choshishin lo mishum velos v'lo mishum trefos. So the halacha is you cannot buy. You cannot eat a egg that it came out of a nevela or a trefa. Nevela de Rabbanan, trefa de Araisa, according to I believe that's how it is. that but the halacha is, despite the fact that you cannot eat an egg that came out of an avela or a trefa, you can buy eggs from an ovek kochavim. Why? Because you can rely on rove, that rove birds are not nevela, don't come, rove eggs don't come from an avela or a trefa. And so even if you're buying from a guy, you have a right to rely that this is not an avela or a trefa. Now the Gemara asks, 1 second, it might be true that there's a rove that most eggs didn't come from an avela or a trefa, but v'dilma da'ov tamei ninu. But how do you know? Maybe they came on earth fine, so you're not worried about an avela and trefa, but maybe you should worry that it came from a bird that is not kosher, which we're going to see later today, that you're not allowed to eat midaraisa. So the Gemara says, Amar Avu Adishmul. So Avu Adishmul clarified, what's the case that you can buy from a guy? Ba'omer shall of ploni tahar. That when the guy says, I'm selling you these eggs that came from such and such bird, which is a kosher bird, so then you can rely on the guy. So why, so therefore, we're not worried about nevela and trefa because you have a rove, that rove eggs aren't nevela or trefa. And the fact that you have to worry that it comes from a non-kosher bird, we can rely on the guy telling us that it was a kosher bird. Now, why would you rely on the guy telling you that it's a kosher bird? He doesn't have an emunus. The idea is similar to the idea of mirsus, which we rely on, but the idea is that he would be afraid to lie because, he would get caught. Mirsus has more to do with the government, but the idea is he's not gonna lie, and it hurt his business, it hurt his reputation. So therefore, if he says it came from a kosher bird, you have a right to believe him because we don't believe that he would lie. So says the Gemara. Okay, but what you're saying here is that the guy has to say that it's a kosher, it came from such and such kosher bird. The Gemara asks, "Velema shel of tahar." Well, why not just say? In other words, why not believe him to say it came from an of tahar? Why does he have to say such and such specific bird? So the Gemara says, "Ihachi isul ishtamute." That if we allow him to just say it's a kosher bird, so then he can weasel his way out of it. And Rashi says, "Velomer shalof acher amarti lecha." I was telling you some other bird, she'iata makiro, which you don't recognize, and it's tar. So if we rely on it to just say it's a tar bird, he could make up, oh, this comes from the kookadoo or whatever, and like, you know, it's kosher. You don't know. But rather, if he says this came from a chicken or whatever it is, so then you'll know that, you can rely on that because he wouldn't lie about that. So now that kind of finishes the sugya. We'll get back to it in a minute, but you can rely on a guy. You know it's not an available trefa because of rove. You can rely on a guy because he wouldn't lie to you as long as he's identifying a specific bird. Now ask the Gemara, but hold on a second. Why do we need to rely on the guy or anything else? V'livdok b'simanim. Why not just check the simanim of the eggs? In other words, there's a difference between kosher and non-kosher eggs. Where do we see that concept? Tesanya, because we learned in a brisa. Kisimane beitzim, kach simane dogim. Just like their simanim, the same simanim that apply to eggs, they apply to fish. So the Gemara says, simane dogim sokodaitach. What does that mean? That the signs of eggs are the signs of fish? That we know that it's fins and scales that define what's a kosher fish according to the Torah. So but rather, what should you say? Kach simane ubre dogim. So he says, so now we're just clarifying the brisa, but he's saying, what does it mean when it says the signs of eggs are like the signs of fish? Meaning the signs of eggs that come from birds are the same signs as eggs that are inside of a fish. So if you have fish eggs, you can look at them under the same criteria that you look at regular eggs. The next few words, the Masorah Sashas takes out. But in any event, the Vatanya Gabe Beitzim is just, but really this is a continuation of the Brisa we learned before, where we're trying to show what are the criteria by which you could tell whether an egg is kosher. Elohein Simane Beitzim. These are the signs that you can tell to try and figure out whether an egg is kosher or non-kosher. Kosher Kaduros Va'agul Golos. Anything that is round or that is round. So what's up with that? Rashi explains that these are, it's two different versions of round, but Rashi explains, koderes agulgolas chodahi. It's one thing. They're saying the same thing. The itana agulgolas luchude have a mashme agula ka adaso uchigvina. So adaso uchigvina. He's saying, if I just send one thing that's round, you might think that if the egg looks like a lentil or like cheese, so cheese is done in a roll, but it's flat. So the idea would be that Maybe it just has to be round around the circumference, but the top and bottom could be flat. So the hachitana koderes agugoles ki igula shakadar sheina kalushas. It has to be like a ball that's not crushed down. But Rashi then clarifies, and in fact this is why it's written, he says, but we'll see in a minute that it's not exactly round, because we're going to see in the Gemara that one side has to be a little round and the other a little more pointy. So Rashi says, the loka kadar mamish is not literally like a ball, el meshucha la'arko v'agulu l'rachva. So basically the idea is, it has to be pretty round. It can't be like a round of cheese or like a lentil, but not perfectly round. So that's what's learned from these two languages of round, kaduros v'agulgolas. Okay, so basically it has to be pretty much round. Rosho echad kad v'rosho echad chad. One of its, one end of the egg should be, kad is round. And the other end of the egg should be a little sharp. It's not sharp like a knife, but it's a little more pointy. And in fact, our eggs, that's how they look. So that's tahara. That's a tahar egg. Beis Roshei HaKadin. What if both ends of the egg are round? Or Beis Roshei HaKadin, or both ends of the egg have a pointiness to them, Tumein. So in that case, they are Tumei. Chelbon mibachutz v'chelbon mibafnim tahara. So if you have the chelbon is like the white part of the egg, that if that's on the outside and the yolk is in the middle, which is like our eggs, then tahara, then that's a tahar egg. Chelbon mibachutz v'chelbon mibafnim. What happens if you have the opposite? That you have the white part of the egg in the middle and you have the yolk around it. So then that's tamei. That's a sign that this egg came from a tamei bird. Chelmon v'chelbon mu'uravin zeh b'zeh. What happens if you have the yolk and the white part are mixed together with each other? Biyadua shehi beitzas hasheretz. Then we're gonna forget tahar or tamei. We're actually talking about that egg shows that this is an egg that came from a sheretz, and we're gonna discuss in the Gemara what's the significance of saying that it came from a sheretz. But in any event, what's the point of all this? We see from the Braisa that there is an ability to tell whether an egg came from a kosher bird or a non-kosher bird. So therefore, the question is, why in the case of Avuah d'Shmuel did we explain that he has to, the way we know that it's a kosher bird and not from a non-kosher bird is because we rely on the guy, because he wouldn't lie to us. What do we need to rely on a guy for? Why not just, look at the egg and figure out, is this a kosher egg or is it a non-kosher egg? Check whether it's pointy, it's rounded, it's, where the yolk is. So what's the big deal? So the Gemara says, Lo tricha, you're right. Theoretically, the Gemara initially thinks, theoretically we could say that you would check the eggs, but where do we say that we have to rely on the guy? Is the chatuchos, where they're cut up. So if they're cut up, you can't tell. Was one edge rounder and the other edge a little sharper? It's a cut up egg. So the Gemara says, okay, but even if it's cut into slices, v'libdok v'chelmon v'chelbon, so why not check the yolk? Is the yolk inside the white, or is the white inside the yellow? Which is it? So the Gemara says, betrufos bekara. No, we're talking about a chopped up egg, so you can't even tell, or a scrambled egg, or whatever it is, and as you can't tell, in other words, they've mixed the yolk and the white part together, and therefore you're not able to tell. But, enochinami, if you would be able to tell, then you could rely on the egg, and you wouldn't need to rely on the guy. That's the thought of the Gemara. The Gemara says, but wait a second. How could you tell me that when Avuah d'Shmuel says we rely on the guy is when you're buying from the guy a mixed up egg, but v'chiyagavna mizavninon minayu? But is there such a case that we're saying we rely on the guy? You're not allowed to buy a mixed up egg from a guy. Why? V'atanya, we learned in a brisa, ein mochrim beitzas trefa lovakochavim, elan kein trufa bekara. So we're going to say two halachas, and we're going to see how they interplay with each other, that we don't sell the egg of a trefa bird to a guy unless we mix it up in a plate, in other words, unless we mix up the egg. Now, mind you, we're talking again, the egg of a trefa is not allowed to be eaten min haTorah. So therefore, we're saying you can't sell a trefa egg to a guy. Why? Because we're worried that he's going to sell it to a Jew. So what can you do to save yourself? You can mix it up. If you mix it up, then you could sell it to a guy. Okay, what's the consequence of the Rabbanan giving you a way to sell an egg to a guy by mixing it up continues from that. Lefikach, therefore, ein lochin mehem beitzin trufos bekara. So therefore, if Chazal said, in order to distinguish a trefa egg that you can sell to a guy and you don't have to worry that he's going to sell to a Jew, you should mix it up. But obviously the corollary to that is, then we have to also tell Jews, don't buy mixed up eggs, because that's the sign. It's not, doesn't mean for sure it's a trefa, but it's a good sign that that's not a valid egg. But in any event, what do you see? We were trying to explain, Avua de Shmuel, that what's the case in which you rely on a guy and you don't check the egg is only if you buy a mixed up egg, and then you have to ask the guy, what kind of bird did it come from? So the Gemara is saying, but that doesn't work because you're not allowed to buy a mixed up egg from a guy. So rather, why does Shmuel say that? Ella Amreb Zera. So Reb Zera says, rather, what are we talking about here? Simanim lav de'araisa. So the question we've been dealing with is, why not rely on the simanim? Why do we have to say that we trust the guy? Why not just check the egg, see if it's round, if it's pointy, if it's where the yolks are? So to this, Reb Zera is saying, no, that doesn't work, because these signs that we said aren't absolute, and they're not from the Torah. They're based on observations. Over time, we developed a view that, if you look at all the kosher bird eggs and you look at the non-kosher bird eggs, these rules generally hold in place, but they're not 100% reliable. And therefore, you can't rely simply that the egg is kosher by looking at it. And rather, that's why we say you have to rely on the guy to tell you that this came from a kosher bird. So the so what's the raya that simanim are not there? I said that you can't look at an egg and tell whether it's a kosher egg, and we're gonna modify this in a minute. But so the Gemara says, here's a raya, dilo temahachi. If you don't admit to this, if you don't believe that you cannot fully tell from the shape of an egg whether it's kosher, hadam revasi, this that we said, we learned this a couple of days ago, shmona sveikos hein. Remember, we went through all these names, that there's eight birds, that it's a suffix as to whether they come from a kosher bird or a non-kosher bird. So the question is, why would we be left with any suffix birds as to whether they're kosher or non-kosher? Just check when their eggs come out. Are they kosher-looking eggs or they're non-kosher-looking eggs? Do they meet our criteria? Why not check their eggs? So that's a good proof that these elements of looking at an egg are not conclusive proof. So then the Gemara asks a good question. So he says, okay, but if you're telling me that these are unreliable measures of whether an egg is kosher or not, then what's the point of telling them to me? In other words, if you're telling me criteria, and then you're saying you can't rely on them, so what good are they? So the Gemara says, Hachi Kamer, here's what's going on here. Beis Rosheha Kadin, O Beis Rosheha Kadin. So if you have something that, according to our signs on eggs, for example, if it has two rounded sides, or it has two sharpened sides, or you have the yolk on the outside and the white part on the inside, so you have those things that we pointed out as indicative of non-kosher birds, so then the halacha is vadai tmeya. So he says, okay, and we'll read it and I'll explain it outside. Reshe chad, chad, reshe chad, kad. But if you have one end of the egg that is sharpened and the other end of the egg that's rounded, like we said, and the white part is outside and the yolk is inside, and he tells you, shall of ploni v'taharhu, and the guy tells you that this came from such and such kosher bird, smoke aleim, then you can rely on them. So he says, but bestama, but if he didn't tell you that it came from a kosher bird, lo tismoch aleihem, you shouldn't rely on them. Why? Because as we said before, this is not a perfect test. There are exceptions to the rule. The ika, the orva, the dami, the diona. Because there is a certain kind of orev that was similar, its eggs were similar to that of a yona. So what are we saying? We're saying as follows. We've proven that the simanim are lav de'araisa, so they didn't come from the Torah. They're not absolute. And in fact, we found exception where there is a certain orev whose eggs look just like a yona, which is a kosher bird, and orev obviously is a non-kosher bird. So it's not perfectly conclusive. But then what's the point of having them? So says the Gemara as follows, that if you have a guy, and this is at least the way Rashi learns, if you have a guy that says it's a kosher bird, this egg came from a kosher bird, so generally we're going to rely on him because he's not going to lie. But if we examine the egg that he's selling it to us, and it, for example, has two rounded sides, or it has a round side and a sharp side, then we're not going to believe him. So that's the point of the Chachamim giving us these measures, because those things that they pointed to as a psul that indicates a non-kosher egg, that's absolute according to the way Rashi learns, and therefore you would not be able to buy from the guy, even though the guy it puts himself out there and says it came from a kosher bird. We don't trust him, but simply the fact that it has the indicia of a kosher bird is not sufficient, because we found exceptions to that rule. So you can't rely on a faulty rule. So basically what it's saying, and so therefore you need the guy to tell you that it came from an oaf tahar. So what's the net of this? Is basically that these rules are presumptive, in other words, but they're not dispositive. So they support a conclusion. So if they contradict the guy, we don't believe the guy. But if they support the guy, then we'll believe the guy. But they're not sufficient in and of themselves that we would accept them without believing the guy. And that's why the Shmona Shratz, the eight Sveikos remain a suffix, because you can't just look at the. You can, in other words, we have no guy telling us that they're. We have no one period telling us that it's kosher, and you can't just look at the birds, because that test is not fully dispositive. Okay, so that completes the sugya about buying from a guy. Amar Mar, we said in the Brisa, so we brought this Brisa in passing to discuss the elements of what showing is a kosher egg, in order to ask the question, why can't you just look at the eggs to determine if it's kosher? But now we're going to get into the question of what makes something a kosher egg. Amar Mar, Chelbon v'chelmon muravin zebezeh biyadua shehi beitzas hasheretz. So the Gemara, the Brisa said that if the yolk is inside and the white part is outside, so that's kosher. If the white part is inside and the yolk is outside, that's not kosher. But then it said if they're mixed together, that you know that this is the beitza, this is the egg of a sheretz. So the Gemara wants to know, l'may helchasa, what difference does it make? In other words, we've been talking tamei and tahar. Tamei and tahar, you're not allowed to eat. So you're adding to me the idea that it's an egg of a sheretz. Who cares? Well, like, what difference does it make whether it's the egg of a sheretz or not? So the Gemara starts and says, Amar Rav Ukma Bar Chama. Rav Ukma Bar Chama says, what's the significance of telling you that it's a sheretz? Lomar Shem Rikma V'nikva B'chadasha Metameh. Or, so the idea is as follows, that if you have, the Mesoros HaShas changed that to Metama B'chadasha. So if Rikma means that it became fertilized, meaning that there started to grow a chick in the egg. Vinikma and evinikva, and then there became a hole in the egg. So then it is metame bechadasha. So okay, so we know the halacha we've discussed many times. There's eight shratzim that are metame. So the idea is, if you know something in an egg is the egg of a sheretz, so if the egg is whole, so then that's not considered, it's not tame, because it's not, in other words, it's not there, it's fully enclosed. On the other hand, if you have an imperfect cover, like an egg shell that has a hole in it, so then the shell itself also becomes tame, right? So therefore, what's the significance? That as soon as you know that the egg has started to develop a chick, and it has a hole in it, you have to know that this is the egg of a sheretz, because if it's the egg of a sheretz, then it's going to be metame bechadasha, the size of a lentil is going to be enough to cause tumah. Whereas regular birds and bird embryo don't cause tumah, only if it's one of the shratzim. We'll see exactly which shratzim. So Maskevlo Ravina says, hold on a second, that can't be the reason it's telling us that if the yolk and the white are mixed together, you know it's a sheretz. Because it can't be, because to tell you that it has tumah v'dilma d'nachashi, because he's saying maybe this egg is the egg of a snake. So what's the significance of that? A snake is a sheretz, but it's not one of the shmona shratzim. So it's not one of the eight shratzim that cause tumah. So therefore, so if you're going to look at the egg and see that the yolk and the white part are mixed together, that doesn't tell you that it's metame. All it tells you is that it's a sheretz. But it could be a snake egg. And if it's a snake egg, it is a sheretz, but it doesn't cause tumah. So that's not a good explanation of why we need to know that a mixed yolk white part is a sheretz. So the Gemara says, Elam Rava. Rava says as follows: Shem rikma va'achla. So it doesn't have to do with tumah, but rather has to do with eating. Loka ala mishum sheretz hasharetz al aretz. So Rava says as follows: that if it started to develop a chick, va'achla, and the guy's going to go ahead and eat it, that the idea is, if this egg is the type of egg that is mixed, the yolk and the white part, which tells you it's a sheretz, so then if you eat it, you're going to get malchus for the lav of sheretz hasharetz al haaretz. So there's two lavim written in the Torah. There's sheretz ha'of, which is basically if you have a creature with wings, that crawls also. So the whether it flies or not, so that is a sheretz ha'of. That's one iser in the Torah. And you have a different iser in the Torah, which is sheretz hashoritz ala aretz, that if you have a sheretz that goes on the ground, you're not allowed to eat either one of them. So what, who cares? So Rashi points out that the difference is going to be that if you get warned, in order, to be chayav on malchus, so if someone eats a sheretz and you do it on purpose and you're warned, then you get malchus. But we know the rule of malchus, that in order to, for the hasra, for the warning to be a valid warning, you have to explain to the guy, here's what you're going to be over on, here's what you're going to be violating by eating this. So therefore, says Rava, what's going on here is that we need to know that if you see a mixed yolk and white part egg, that indicates that it's the egg of a sheretz. If it indicates that it's the egg of the sheretz, and that egg has already started to fertilize, already started to have a chick, so then that constitutes a sheretz hasharetz ala aretz. It's not a sheretz ha'of yet. It's not, so therefore, it's important to know, based on the egg, whether it's a sheretz, so that you give the right warning to the guy who's contemplating to eat this egg that has already started to develop a chick. So you have to know whether it's a sheretz egg or a regular egg. So the Gemara says, one second, if you're telling me that when you have an egg that's already started to grow a chick, that's a case of sheretz hasharetz ala aretz. So then the question is, ihachi ma'iri de tame, afilu de tahora nami. So he says as follows, because if that's so, remember the context of the braisa we were learning. We were learning these things indicate a tahar animal, these indicators in an egg. And these indicate a tame animal. So that's what we were dealing with, tuma and tahara. And so, and then we come and throw sheretz in the middle. So the question is, Rava's telling us that we need to know this because sheretz hasharetz ala aretz, that's the right hasra you need to give if it's a sheretz. So the Gemara is asking, forget sheretz, forget even if it's a tame animal, a tame egg, even if it's a kosher egg that we're going to see in a second, that egg you're not allowed to eat either once it starts to fertilize and become a chick. So if you're not allowed to eat a tahar egg, so then we go back to our question, what are you proving by telling me it's a sheretz, even a non-sheretz, even a kosher egg? You can't eat it once it starts to develop a chick. Where do we see that? This sanya, because we learned in a braisa, kol hasheretz hasharetz al aretz, that when it says kol, any sheretz that is sheretz, that swarms on the earth, l'rabos efrochim shelo niftechu einayim. So that comes to include, efrochim are chicks that are born that haven't yet opened their eyes. In other words, they've just been born and they didn't yet open their eyes. So what do you see? You see now, a bird obviously is a sheretz ha'of, right? Now, if you're telling me that the bird, when it's in its chick stage, is still covered, because we're learning from the pasuk of sheretz hasharetz al aretz. So if you're telling me even a chick that's been born is still considered a sheretz of the ground and not a sheretz of a flying sheretz, then surely a chick that's in embryo is for sure not a flying thing. So therefore, you see that if you're not able to eat even a kosher bird that's been born, then surely a non-kosher bird, a non-kosher sheretz that has not been born yet, is not going to qualify as a flying insect, because if even a born chick doesn't qualify, then surely an embryo is not going to qualify. So therefore, The question we're left with is as follows. Rava was telling us, why do I need to know whether it's a sheretz? To tell you that if you're going to eat it, you're going to be over on kol ha-sheretz ha-shoritz al ha-aretz, as opposed to sheretz ha-of, a flying sheretz. But I don't need that to tell me that specifically by sheretz. That's true by a tameh bird, and it's true even by a kosher bird. So what's your point, Rava, to explain why we needed to tell a sheretz? The halacha you're suggesting that sheretz tells us is a halacha by all non-kosher birds and even kosher birds. So that does not explain very well why we needed to have a specific test for whether an egg is a sheretz egg or not. So the Gemara answers, second line of Samat al Daman Beis, midrabanam across machtabama. So he says as follows. No, this halacha that we brought by a kosher bird, the halacha that we brought by a kosher bird, is actually only midrabanan. Midaraisa, if you have a kosher bird, whether it is pre-embryo or post-embryo, meaning it's already started to develop a chick, that is not a sheretz min haTorah, and you're only going to be over midrabanan. So therefore, our question was premised on even a sheretz tahar is implicated by kol sheretz hashoritz al haaretz. So the Gemara says, no. By a tahar animal, a kosher animal, that's just an asmachta. Okay, so now part of our question is gone, but we're left with a question now. So therefore, what's the point of telling me the difference between a sheretz and just a non-kosher animal? So what the Gemara is answering here is as follows, that by a non-kosher animal, in other words, whether it's a non-kosher animal or it's a sheretz, you're not allowed to eat it, even if there's no embryo in there. What's the difference between, you're not allowed to eat that, you're not allowed to eat that minatora because that egg came from an animal that's either non-kosher or a sheretz itself. So that's for sure okay. But where you get into a distinction is going to be the difference between a non-kosher bird and a sheretz is that a non-kosher bird, even when it's in embryo, is considered sheretz ha'of. That's considered that you're over on the iser of sheretz ha'of versus the when you have an actual sheretz that as soon as it starts to develop an embryo, then that is going to be covered by kol sheretz ha'shoritz ala aretz, and it's only later that it would become a sheretz oaf, because eventually when the egg, I'm sorry, because if it's a sheretz, so it's not going to become sheretz oaf, and therefore it's covered by sheretz ha-sheretz ala aretz. So we go back to Rava's explanation that once we've determined that the whole halacha of a kosher bird is only midrabanan, and we're trying to figure out the oraisa, so that's what Rava's telling us is the difference between the egg of a sheretz and the egg of a non-kosher bird is that a non-kosher bird is going to be over on the if you want to give him malchus, you have to tell him that you're going to be over on sheretz ha'of, and a non-kosher sheretz, all sheretzim are non-kosher, once it starts to develop an embryo, you need to tell him that if you're going to eat that, you're going to be over on the iser of kol sheretz ha'shoritz ala aretz, not the sheretz ha'of, and therefore that's the reason that we need a test to tell us that if the yolk and the white part are mixed together, you know it's a sheretz, and if the guy's going to eat it once it started to develop a chick, you need to warn him on sheretz ha'shoritz al aretz and not sheretz ha'of. But a non-kosher bird that has an egg and the embryo starts to develop, that you would have to give him a warning of sheretz ha'of. Okay, says the Gemara, second line of Samach Talon Amun Beis. New halacha. Tan Rabbanan, giule beitzim mutaros. If you have giule beitzim, Rashi says this is beitza tmeyosh and it's bashlam atorah. So let's say you have kosher eggs and you have non-kosher eggs, and for whatever reason you cook them all together in one pot. The halacha is those are mutter. Why? Rashi says atahorin. You can't eat the tamei eggs, obviously, but the kosher eggs you could still eat, despite the fact that they were cooked with non-kosher eggs. The maya ba'almahu, that whatever mixture there is just water, velo yavi, taima ba'achrinaisa, the tam doesn't transfer between the eggs that are cooked in the same pot. Okay, so that's one halacha. Next halacha. Beitzim muzaros nefesh yachot tochlem. So, if you have beitzim muzaros, Rashi learns, at least not everyone agrees, but she'enon shel zachar ve'en afroch kalut behen li'olam. We're talking about We had this a few days ago. The idea that safna meara, that a chicken can give birth to eggs either fertilized by a male or not fertilized by a male. The difference is if it's fertilized by a male, then it can develop a chick and it can grow into being something. If it's safna meara, if it's warmed from the earth, meaning some other method of developing the egg, not fertilized by a male, it's never going to grow into a chick. So we say as follows, that if you have if you have eggs that are never going to develop into a chick, nefesh yachatoklem, a nice soul can eat it. This is a nice way of saying it's kind of basically if the chicken's been sitting on it for a long time, it turns disgusting. If it doesn't bother someone to eat a disgusting egg, you're welcome to eat it. Interestingly, this gets into interesting halacha. If the person individually finds it to be disgusting, then he's not allowed to eat it halachically because it's bal tashaktzu. You can't do something that's disgusting on yourself. But that's not really the Gemara's point in doing the Gemara's. What the Gemara is really trying to say is you can eat it if you want to. What does that mean? Despite the fact that there might be blood in it. So why is that? Because at least according to the way Rashi learns, if we're talking about an egg that can never become a chick, so to the extent you find blood in there, that blood is not indicative of an embryo, because there can never be an embryo in this egg. But continues the Braisa. Nimsa alel kore dam. So if you find a spot of blood in the egg, zorek es adam v'ochel es hashar. So what can you do? So now we've moved on from the safna me'ara. We're talking about a regular egg. If you find a regular egg and you open the egg and there's a blood spot in there, what should you do? You should take out the blood spot and you could eat the rest of the egg. We're going to qualify this in a minute. Okay. So the Gemara says, and the idea being is that, even if that blood spot represents the development of an embryo, you take out the embryo and you toss it in the garbage, and then therefore the egg is good. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, "V'hushin nimsa al kesher shalom." He says, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, "Hold on a second. That the idea that you could take the blood spot and throw it away only applies if it is in its kesher. So what is the kesher?" So in order to understand this, you have to understand a little bit about how eggs fertilize. So eggs fertilize, if we're talking about ones that come through mating, there's, like anything else, there's sperm that comes into the egg, and it goes into something that, kesher is like a rope, it connects, it's from the end of the egg, and it goes in toward the yolk, and that's where, in the kesher is where an embryo develops. So what we're saying here is the following, that if you find the blood spot in that kesher, in that area where the embryos develop, so then it tells you that there was a embryo here, it died, presumably it died, because that's why there's blood, and so it's confined to the kesher. And therefore, because it's still in its tube, so to speak, you could take out that blood spot and throw it out, but you can have the rest of the egg. Why? Because the embryo didn't make its way into the remainder of the egg because it's still in the place where the embryo itself is developed. But if you were to find, according to this, if you were to find blood outside of the kesher, so then you have to be worried that the embryo is already, I don't know exactly how it works, but the embryo is already out of the kesher. And at that point, the broader egg has been involved in the development of the embryo, and therefore you wouldn't be able to eat any part of the egg. So you can only throw out the blood spot and eat the rest of the egg if the embryo was still contained in the kesher, but not if it has spread to the broader egg. Tani destoy avuad revi afturiki loshanu elashinimsa al chelbon shalah. We didn't learn this except if it's found on the white part. Avon nimsa al chelmon shalah, but if it's found on the yolk part, afilu be'a asura, that even the egg itself is asur. Now, big machlokas in Rishonim as to what this means. So the way Rashi learns that this is further clarifying the halacha that we learned, which is going to be as follows. That in addition to the kesher that connects the end of the egg and goes into the egg toward the yolk, there's also a kesher that is in the yolk itself, right? So the idea here is as follows. So what's being added by Reb Destoy is that if the egg, if the embryo developed in the kesher we described before, which is the, where the embryos develop in the white part of the egg. So if it's contained in the embryo, it's good. If it's out of the embryo, it's bad. But if it's in the kesher of the yolk, which is also where an embryo can develop, then that's more serious. And then even if it's fully contained within the kesher, you cannot throw it out, you cannot throw out that blood and eat the rest. It's no good. So therefore, that's how Rashi understands that it is a clarification. Others understand that what's going on here is that Reb Dustai is arguing, and he's saying, no, forget kesher, whatever. He's saying, if it's in the yolk part, you cannot throw it out, you cannot take out the blood and eat the rest. If it's in the white part, you can. So, the question whether Reb Dustai is coming to clarify Reb Yirmiyah or he's coming to argue with Reb Yirmiyah. But in any event, that's the halacha. Now the Gemara says, my taima, what's the reason that if it's in the yolk, you have to throw out the whole egg? The shada tichla bakula, because basically, you've started or thrown destruction in the whole egg, or Rashi says reya, so basically the egg is bad already. If it's already in the yolk, then that's a problem, it's not a good egg. Okay. Amrle Rav Gevia mi Beikasil Rav Ashi. Rav Gevia from Beikasil said to Rav Ashi, ifcha tani tana kame de abaya, that there was a Tana who learned, the version we have, the Tana actually taught a version that said that if it's in the yolk, it's okay, and if it's in the white part, it's not okay. The Abaya who detarza niale hachi. And it's Abaya who told him switch it to the way we have it, which is that if it's in the white part, it's okay, and if it's in the yolk, that's a problem. So he's just saying this that we learned is actually based on the emendation of Abaya. Okay, Amar Chizkia, minayin lebeitzas tmeya shi asura min haTorah. So we've been going along, we referenced it a couple of times already today, that the halacha is that if you have the egg of a non-kosher bird, then that egg itself is asur min haTorah. So how do you know that, and in fact, this is, according to some, the source for the fact that you can't have pig milk. Anything that milk or any other product that comes from a non-kosher animal. Why? Shenemar, because it says v'asbas hayana. So this is the pasuk in Vayikra Yud Aleph. It's listing a lot of things, and it says v'asbas hayana, that's one of the things that you're not able to eat. So now the Gemara wants to know, or the Chizkiya wants to know, v'chibas yeshlo layana. Ayana is an ostrich. And an ostrich doesn't have daughters. Why doesn't an ostrich have daughters? Because daughter is an idea that they gave birth to a female. But an ostrich gives birth to eggs. Eggs aren't, even though they might develop to be a male or a female, it's not considered having a daughter. So what does it mean that the Yana has a daughter? Ele'ezu, what are we talking about? Zu beitza tmeya. So when it says the daughter of an ostrich, it's not referring specifically to a female progeny. It's referring to its egg. That the idea is that the bas yana is the egg of a yana is not kosher. If the egg of an ostrich is not kosher, the egg of anything else is not kosher. If the egg of anything else is not kosher, things that grow or come out of a non-kosher animal are non-kosher. Okay, so the Gemara says, wait a second. V'dilma hainu shmayu. Maybe bas yana is the name of an ostrich. So don't assume that it means the daughter of an ostrich and say it must be talking about an egg. Maybe the name of an ostrich is a bas yana. So the Gemara says, lo sakadaita. That doesn't make sense. The Chsiv, because it's written, bas ami la'achsar, that the daughter of my nation has become achsar, cruel, or, okay, kiyanim bamidbar, like the yana of the desert ostrich. So the Gemara is saying, so you see that there's a place where the pasuk refers to an ostrich and it just called it a yana. It doesn't call it a bas yana. So you see that the name of an ostrich is a yana. It's not a bas yana. So therefore, when it says bas yana, it's coming to include the egg. So ask the Gemara, velo, is it true that the Torah doesn't refer to ostrich itself as a bas yana? And that if it says bas yana, it has to be referring to an egg. Well, ksiv, but it's written in the pasuk, esem misbeid ketanim. The Evel Kibnos Yana, that I make a mourning, a misbid, like hasbid, like tanin. Tanim are it's like a sorry. It's like a wolf or a jackal, which is the same family even as like a domestic dog, but misbeit ketanim the evo kibnosiana and mourning like bnosiana. So the question is as follows: that when it talks about mourning, so eggs don't mourn. So if it's a reference to the mourning of Benos Yana, the daughters of Yana, so you'd say, if it's an egg, if you're saying that the name of the ostrich is a Bas Yana, so you're gonna say that that's the ostrich mourns in whatever way an ostrich mourns. But if you're saying that Benos Yana automatically refers to eggs, so then what does that mean? Eggs don't mourn. So the Gemara says, no, it means when it says Benos Yana is not referring to eggs, because here what it means is Kiyana Zu Shemisabelas Albanel. The reason it says Bas Yana is not because we're talking about Bas Yana, we're talking about the mourning of a Yana on its Bas, meaning when it mourns for its child who was lost. So where the Pasuk is comparing not so much to the mourning of an ostrich, but to the mourning of an ostrich about its children. Says, ask the Gemara, okay, but I ask you a different pasuk. Well, Haksiv, it's written, this is a pasuk in Yeshaya. It says, that you're going to have these, it's talking about when Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed, that you're going to have these different animals living in your house. V'shachnu sham benos yana. And the, one of the things that's going to happen is that the benos yana are going to dwell there. So the question is that, eggs don't dwell and show that, that Yerushalayim is desolate. If ostrich is there occupying a house, that shows that Yerushalayim is desolate. So it shows that Benos Yana could be a reference, Bas Yana could be a reference to just the name of an ostrich, not talking about its eggs. The Gemara says, no. When it says Benos Yana, it's saying, Ki Yana Zu Sheshochenes Im Bonel. So it's saying that, evidently an ostrich stays very close to its children. And so it's saying that the ostrich is going to be, that the animals are going to be implanted in the homes of Yerushalayim, like an ostrich that's really planted there. So when it says Benos Yana, it's not because that's the name of an ostrich, but it's saying the ostrich who's watching her children is going to be very settled in the homes of Yerushalayim. Okay, so we've answered that. The Gemara asks, "Vok Siv," but it's written Tichabdeni Chayes Hasoda Tanim Ubnos Yana, that they're going to honor me, the wild beasts of the field and the tanim, the jackals of Benos Yana and the ostriches. So the question is, if Benos Yana is a reference to eggs and not to the ostrich, how does an egg honor the Ribbono Shel Olam? So, right? So it must be that Benos Yana is a reference to Visoko Daitoch Beitza, and if you're going to tell me that Bas Yana is a reference to an egg, Beitza Bas Meimar Shirahi, is a egg going to give Shira to the Ribbono Shel Olam to give Kavod? So therefore, we've now found a pasuk which seems to show that Bas Yana could be a reference to a ostrich itself. So we're left with no source for the fact that the egg of an ostrich is no good. So the Gemara says, no, rather, what's going on? Eliksiv Hayana, Viksiv Bas Hayana. So he's saying, you're right. Sometimes it can refer to an ostrich as a Yana, sometimes it can refer to it as a Bas Yana, and those are both an ostrich. But in this case, Vishani Hacha, it's different here. This pasuk that we brought originally, Vyas Basayana, the pasuk Safra L'Shtei Tevos. Why? Because when the Torah writes Basayana in this pasuk, the sofer is able to divide it into two words. The fact that he's able to divide it into two words shows you that he's not talking about a Basayana, which is a reference to an ostrich, but rather it's a reference to the egg of an ostrich, because you can separate the word Bas from the word Yana. So ask the Gemara, Umi the Pasuk Lu Safra Betarti Tevel Shema Mina Trei Shemus Ninu. Is that a fair deduction that if a sofer is allowed to divide a word into two parts, that means that it's two different things, and that they're not connected? Elameata, but if so, as Kedar La Omer, the Pasuk Lu Safra Betrei, Hachinami Detarti Shmei Ninu. So he says, but wait a second, in Bereshis, Kedar La Omer was one of the Malachim, the Dalad Malachim that fought against the five Malachim. So it says, it's written his name, Kedar La Omer, as two words. And clearly it's talking about one person. So the fact that a sofer is able to be mafsik, a name, in middle, doesn't mean it's two names. So therefore, so too, Bas Yana, the fact that he was mafzik Bas from Yana doesn't make the Bas into an egg. Maybe it's still a reference to a regular ostrich. The Gemara says, Amri Hasam b'shnei tevas pasaklu, b'shnei shitin lo pasaklu. Aval hacha filu b'shnei shitin, nami pasaklu. He says, no, 1 second. There's a difference between Bas Yana that a sofer is able to divide into two and Kedar LaOmer that you could divide into two. Why? Because Kedar LaOmer you could only do on a single line. You could make Kedar LaOmer, you could do that on one line. But you can't do Kedar at the end of one line and LaOmer on the next line. Versus Bas Yana, you could say Bas on the end of one line and Yana on the next line. That shows that they're really divided. And so therefore, when it says Ubas Yana, that it's talking about the Bas Yana, it's not referring to the ostrich who's being called the Bas Yana, because since you're able to divide it, it's showing you it's two things. So what are you left with? You're left with a Yana, which is an ostrich, a Bas Yana. What's that referring to? It has to be referring to the egg. Therefore, you see an egg of a non-kosher animal is not kosher, and that in turn extends itself elsewhere in halacha.